You are the great I am. You are the one that controls the future. You are the one that controls the universe. Lord, when we sing that song, you've got the whole world in your hands. We know that is absolutely true. But Lord, when we bring it down to our own personal lives, we know our life is in your hands. And Lord, we are living for you because we know that you have got the future in your hands. And Father God, you are the one who goes before us each and every day. You are the one that enables us. You are the one that brings revelation to our hearts. And Father God, we pray today that, Lord, as we are hearing from your word, the Holy Spirit, you would speak into our heart, that you would imprint something of the divine mandate upon our hearts, upon our lives, upon our destiny. Father God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Take a seat. And great that you're in church today. You want to hear confessions of a pastor?
Woo! Woo!
I know you think that I wake up in the morning in a suit. All dressed, ready for church. Shoes polished, ready to go. But the reality is, the alarm wakes up and I've got this new alarm sound. It's gentle. You know, it starts playing little music gently. You know, the Apple alarms used to be pretty disgusting to wake up to them.
Amen. Preach it.
Yeah, thank you. Little gently, easy listening music. But that doesn't wake you up so well. And I think, where's the pause button? I may turn it off. That shouldn't be going off now. It must be set for the wrong time, surely. And I start going into this little dream zone. And then about another 9 minutes later, and the stars coming up, where's that pause button? And I threw this thing across the room. But then something dawned on me that if I don't show up at church today, people won't be particularly happy. They're going to be sitting around thinking, where is pastor? And it's not going to be going down so well. So I think I better get up out of bed and get this day into action. Also, we speak about dreams and visions. I had a vision this morning. Now, I had a dream this morning. I believe it was a very spiritual one. Somehow, I don't know, but I think it's somewhere in the future. It's definitely the future. Pastor Julie and I were on a coach around the coast of Italy. I'm thinking, yes, I'm going to have that. Thank you, Lord. Going around the coast of Italy. And for the life of me, you know, your dreams really can sometimes go up in pear shape. You're not thinking. But somehow, I must have got off the bus, but I didn't get back on the bus. And the bus has continued on. I've got some money in my pocket. I don't think I spoke a lot of Italian either. Good mistake. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to communicate with people. How am I going to get back on that bus and meet up with Julie and continue on the thing? I didn't even know exactly where the destination of this particular day's journey was going to be. But somehow I figured it was going past the Amalfi Coast. I think it must be stopping at the Amalfi Coast. And I'm thinking, maybe I can catch an Uber and get to the Amalfi Coast. And I'm thinking, how could I find an Uber driver? And I don't know. That's when this alarm started waking me up. But I'm thinking that's prophetic. I think definitely that's planned for the future. Definitely be stopping on the Amalfi Coast somewhere in the future. But who knows, a lot of stuff starts with dreams and visions. Who knows that's true? You have something spark in your life, and we are actually literally talking about our, I can't believe this, our 40th wedding anniversary. A couple of years' time still away, but we're planning for something big, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think it might involve the Amalfi Coast, so definitely going to go for that. But it starts with visions and dreams. Who's been watching the tennis open, the Australian Open over the last few days? That's been pretty cool. Some great matches are taking place, and maybe some of you have lost some sleep, and maybe that's why it's getting harder to turn the alarm off in the morning. There's been incredibly good tennis. So one of the great stories, maybe I have the first slide on, by the way, yeah. One of the great stories has centred around the Australian Open. And around this guy called Dylan Alcott. Does anyone know who Dylan Alcott is? He, and I'll just read the story as it's appeared in the newspaper. It says, he has delivered an inspirational speech after securing his sixth consecutive Australian Open title, encouraging younger generations of kids with disability to follow their dreams. How's that? Six consecutive titles. And I think that's absolutely incredible. Dylan Alcott was born with a tumour wrapped around his spinal cord, which was operated on during the first weeks of his life. The tumour was successfully cut out, however, it left Alcott a paraplegic, requiring him to use a wheelchair. Who knows, just that on its own, you could have had a sense of your future, a vision for your future, which could have been so drastically different than what has turned out for him. And it continues on to say, wheelchair whiz Dylan Alcott has choked back tears after winning his sixth straight Australian Open quad singles crown, and Alcott publicly declared he'd raised more than $40,000 for the disabled affected by Australia's bushfires from his 6-0, 6-4 final over England's Andy Lapthorne on Saturday night. Is that a cool story about someone who had a vision for his life? Obviously, his circumstances must have been screaming at him to say, your life is just going to amount to nothing, you'll be going nowhere, you'll be just cared for and looked after for the next so many decades of your life. But he had something spark in his life, a vision and a dream of a future, which he has obviously seen incredible things take place. When we talk about 2020 vision, maybe just go back to the previous slide for a minute. When we talk about 2020 vision, what do we mean? It's a bit of a term that was... Has anyone heard the word 2020 vision before, let's say, last year?
Yeah.
Put up your hand if you haven't heard that word before last year, 2020 vision. It's not a trick question, no, please don't be embarrassed. It's probably generally for people that are in an older age bracket, because 2020 actually relates to when you go to the optometrist. They would test your eyes, and they would actually have a little screen where you'd have these letters. Has anyone ever been for an eye test? They have these letters and read the letters off the wall. Well, the distance of those letters, they generally bounce it off the wall and back again, because it is actually 20 feet away. In today's world, we would say it's 6 metres away, and we're saying, what can a person with good eyesight, normal good eyesight, be able to read at 20 feet away? And that what is called 20/20 vision. How cool is that? So if you've got 20/20 vision, you've got sharp focus, you've got clarity in your vision, you're able to see where you are going in life and what's going on in your world. Who wants to have 20/20 vision?
Yeah.
And so I was in class and I was trying to, you know, probably in my, my late teens, early 20s, and I was trying to read the writing on the screen when they were doing all these equations and all of that in, you know, one of the courses I was doing it. And I figured, I better go and get a bit of class, get some glasses, it's going to bring it in pretty a sharp image. And I found it made a big improvement, and that's why I wear glasses. It helps enormously. You don't have to have them long distance, but everything looks a lot sharper, and I can actually see who's looking back at me. That's pretty cool. But when it comes to vision, oftentimes people are thinking about having some 3D Steven Spielberg kind of vision of something from outer space. But the word vision, as appears in the Oxford American Dictionary, I think it's probably going to be an English one as well, this is the second definition of vision. It is the ability to think about and plan the future with imagination or wisdom. It is a mental image of what the future will or could be like. I reckon that's pretty cool. A mental image of what the future could or will or could be like. Who reckons that's something we all need? We need to have a picture of the future. And I know I was joking about being on the Amalfi Coast, but man, we're going to be there. We will be at the Amalfi Coast. I pictured it. I've seen it. I've even seen the coach. How cool is that? Well, bus, whatever you want to call it. I've seen it. I'll be there one day. You've probably been there. Haven't you, Jesse? Yeah? You beat us. I don't know. Young people, they're just tripping around the world. They're just getting all this good places. But we've got there. That's not fair, is it? Everyone else said it? No, it's not fair. Okay. But it is true. As a young person, as I shared earlier, you know, 17 years of age, I had a dream one day serving God. I was serving God then. It's not like one day, you know, but I was going to be preparing myself to be serving God in more significant ways. By the way, I dreamed of getting married as well, and that was pretty cool. But that was part of things being stirred in my life as part of my journey. And when we have a vision, it helps us to focus, it helps us to get resources together, it helps us to even plan about what are some of the things that we will do in order to prepare that which we believe will be important for our life and our future. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says this. It says, without a vision, the people cast off restraint. Without a vision, the people cast off restraint. This is true of every part of life. This would be true of anybody. If you don't have a vision for your future, you will not be disciplined. You will not have, if you like, the restraint. You will not have the sense of purpose that is going to help you to get up every day and sometimes to do the difficult things, the things that require discipline in order to fulfill that which you have in your heart to do. It is because a person has vision that they will do a course at university. And hands up all the uni students. Just wherever you are, just put up your hands. Anyone who's just been to uni or you've done uni?
Sure.
I know there's a number of you who have done uni. Come on, put up your hands. Be proud. Yeah, I'm doing it. That's cool. That's awesome. It is fantastic to see people that are stepping out, but I know it's not easy. It is hard work. When you've got these massive assignments and they're due in a few days' time and they've got thousands of words of research required, that is hard. And the reason why you have the discipline to do that is because one day you know you are going to get a certificate or a degree, and that is going to help position you for what you are dreaming about, your vision for the future in the days ahead. We all need vision that is stirring in our heart that is going to prepare us for what is yet ahead. And it is having a strength of vision that has captured your heart that is going to propel you into your future, and so that you will not cast off restraint. However, whilst people everywhere and any plot can have vision for their future, I know that only God knows the future. This is what it says in Isaiah 46, verse 10. It says, only I can tell you the future before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Isn't that amazing? Only I can tell you the future before it ever happens. I tell you what, it's a good thing to be connected with God and have Him speaking in your life and in your future, rather than just feeling you're a victim of circumstance or you're a victim of just random things going on in life. To know that there is a supernatural God who has your best interests at heart, who is mapping out your destiny and your future even before you're born, I think is absolutely incredible. I'm thinking, why would you not want to connect with a God who knows you? But it's not like God just knows you, but He loves you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for you. That which was priceless to Him, He sent because He loved you. And I think if that's the extent of God's love for me, His care for me, for my life and my future, why would I not want to connect with a God like that who can lead me and guide me and show me the future that He has planned? In Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 25, it says this, for I am the Lord, I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord. It's amazing when God speaks, He can bring things into being. It says in Hebrews 11, He can bring things which are not as though they are. It's almost like he can cause things to materialize. When he created the universe, God said, in the beginning, God said. And every time God spoke, boom, things happened across the universe. It is a small thing for God to bring things to pass in your life and in your future. But as we entrust our lives into his hands, he can cause it to become a reality. There's a guy I want to talk about this morning. His name is Jeremiah. He was a young man. They expect he was likely in his teens when he was first called by God. He served God for some 40 years, speaking primarily to the life of his nation Israel, when they were going through an incredibly difficult season. But somehow Jeremiah, even though he faced such adversity, he got to the end of the race, and he was able to declare that God was good, and God was the one that brought that about. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we read about the call of God upon his life. And in verse 4 it says this. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Think about this. Before God formed you in the womb of your mother, he knew you. Who knows that's true? He knew you and he saw you. It says that many times throughout the Bible. Before I formed you in the room, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, or if you like, I set you apart. And I ordained you, or anointed you, to be a prophet to the nations. I believe that before we are born, God has planned out and mapped our future. He has very clearly and intentionally mapped out a future for each and every one of us. And not only that, I believe that he has set it apart, he has purposes in mind for us, he has created us with things that are unique to us alone. I believe that there are things that only you can do that no one else can do. Sometimes we sit next to people and we think, oh gee, they're pretty smart, or they're super intelligent, or they've got some extra skill set that I don't have. But I believe that God has got things uniquely in our lives that other people don't have. And that's why he created you. If someone else could do it, why did he make you? He made you because there are things unique about your makeup, your character, your personality. Who knows, we've all got our unique kind of personalities. We do. We're all very different in our personality. That's no coincidence. I believe that is part of God's design, because he knows what we're going to need for the road ahead. And so the passage continues on. He says, I have ordained you. So God is speaking to him about what he sees of Jeremiah. He's saying, this is what I see in you. And maybe just put that next slide up. What do you see? This is what God sees. God is speaking in the life of Jeremiah. He's saying, this is what I see. I see you as a prophet who was ordained to speak to the nations. And then Jeremiah, he responds back to God, and he's saying, Lord, our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am just a youth. I don't know how old a youth is. Hey, stand up, all those of you think you're a youth.
Woo!
I'm standing up, yeah. If you think you're a youth, stand up. Looks like all the people that are kind of like in the... Come on, what's going on here? Hey. There's all the young people, so the young people there over the hill. And we've got all the people that are thinking, man...
Woo! Amen! Hallelujah!
The youth will run and grow weary. All the people, no. I really believe that God wants to instill a sense of youth on us. What do you see? He was seeing it negatively. He says, I'm just a youth. I'm just a young person. I'm just a teenager. What could you do with me? The older people sometimes are thinking, yeah, where's my rocking chair? I want to sit there and rock away. No, no, no. What do you see? I'm determined. I'm not getting any older. The clock has stopped for me. I am not getting older. The clock has stopped for me. But what do you see? Jeremiah saw a limitation, particularly in his culture. They really didn't take people seriously until they reached 30. It's like, this is the age of, yeah, that's when you've arrived. And that's when you actually become a mature person and is able to speak in the situations. But the Lord says to him, in verse 7, he says, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And so God begins to speak into his life. He's got the excuses out. He's saying, I can't do this. I'm not equipped. I'm not old enough. I'm not ready to go. But God began to speak into his life about what he saw in him. Who knows, we need to get a vision of what God sees in us rather than what we see of ourselves. Who knows that's true? We really need to lay hold of the heavenly vision. Here's the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. He's about to kill people, and then he has a vision, and God begins to speak to him, and all of a sudden, his entire life is knocked out of its orbit, and he starts going on a completely different trajectory than he had previous to that point in time. And as we get an image and a picture of what God sees in us, he will radically change and transform our lives. And in verse 9, God begins to speak into his life about what he sees. So he challenges him. He says, do not say I'm just a youth. But God begins to speak to him, and he says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. And he was going to use strategically in the life of his nation, and in fact even in the life of the nations around about him in the seasons ahead. And he was someone that was just so incredibly used by God. God began to speak into his heart. In verse 11, God speaks to him and says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? I believe that God was provoking Jeremiah. It wasn't like God somehow woke up that day and he had no idea what was going on. God completely knew what was going on. The problem is that Jeremiah didn't know what was going on. He didn't know what was in his life. Didn't know, he had not fully comprehended or at least embraced that which God had for his life and his future. And so when God's asking him this question, what do you see? It wasn't that God needed to know the answer. God knew the answer. He was wanting Jeremiah to answer that question. What do you see? And God would be speaking those same words, I believe, into our hearts and our lives as well. What do you see? We've got Vision Sunday happening next week. It's like Pre-Vision Sunday. I call it Pre-Vision Sunday, not Pre-Vision, Pre-Vision Sunday. And we're thinking about the year ahead, and I was meeting with the life group leaders during the week. And I was asking them, what do you see at the end of the year? What do you see? We come to December and we're celebrating an incredible year. I'm not talking about last December, I'm talking about next December. What do you see when you think back to the year that's just gone by? What will you be celebrating? What do you see in December? We gather with all the volunteers and we have our final breakup night. What are we celebrating? What do we see has transpired in the year that has just gone by? What do you see? And on this occasion, he says, and I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. The branch, when it talks about almond tree, it's like from a Hebrew word that is very close to the word meaning wakeful tree. Wakeful tree. In other words, a little bit of a play on words saying, wake up. be ready. I'm about to do something in your life and your situation. And he's provoking. What do you see? He's showing him this almond branch. And he's saying, what do you see? And he could just say, well, I see an almond tree. And God says, yes. Wake up. I'm ready to perform my word. I'm ready to bring my purpose to pass in your life. Friends, we need to wake up. We need to have vision for the future. We need to begin to see into the future. Because if you can't see it, it's not going to become a reality. But as we begin to see the plan and the purpose of God for our life and our future, we will begin to step into that. We'll begin to make plans. We'll begin to prepare. We'll begin to organize. We'll begin to do some things that will help us to work towards that which God is positioning and calling us to do. For every person, it's individual. Who knows that's true? Never compare yourself with the person sitting next to you or the person up the front or some other person you've met. For every person, it is individual. We really make fail big time if we get into the comparison trap. We will always be a poor copy of someone else. We need to be the best version of who God has created and designed you to be. Absolutely. Not fall into the comparison trap. That will kill you. That will suck the life out of you. And you will only ever be second best. Be the best version of who God has created you to be. And we are all wired differently. Our personalities are different. The way we think is different. If you think a bit different from everyone else, that's okay. I do too. We're in good company. And sometimes God needs people to think a bit differently. We had a vision retreat yesterday. We're all sitting in the room and we're just talking about some of the things God's stirring in our hearts. And as we got together and scribbled all these words on the whiteboard, and as it came out, man, this thing just came out. Wow, that's so cool. It was really cool. You know why that happened? Because God creates us all differently. And as we share together, we're better together. Who knows that's true? God's designed it that way, so we need each other and we can really learn and grow as we are together. And so I really believe God has just got incredibly good things planned. What do you see? He continued on a second time. What do you see? And he began to see things that were taking place in the life of his nations, things that were just filtering down. That were going to be affecting the nations around about him. What do you see? What do you see? What is going on in your life and in your future? I believe that we really need to be giving ourselves opportunity to see stuff stirred in our heart. Something that works, I have to get into a bit of a creative space. Is anyone like that? I need to just do something different from my normal routine. When I just, you just get up, you go to work, come home, have dinner, go to bed. It's not quite spark. I've found I have to put myself into creative environments or do something different from my normal seasons. And we've got our season of fasting and prayer coming up. Think about doing something creative. Do something different from your normal routine. Certainly be spending time in prayer. I've found absolutely reading the Bible. It's powerful so far as having God speak in your life in the future. The Bible is the Word of God. And the Bible says that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to penetrate the hard exterior of our lives, and it's able to reveal, if it says there, the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's found, I think, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 10. Is able to reveal the intent and the thoughts of the heart. The Word of God does that. It is living. So even though people are like shaking them, Mac and Rose's, this 2,000-year-old stuff, felt like shaking him. The Word of God is living. It is alive today as it was when it was written 2,000 years ago, or 3,000 years, or 4,000 years ago, when revelations would come to the life of Moses and the prophets and the different people that wrote. It's as alive today as when Jeremiah was moved by the Holy Spirit to write that prophetic word in chapter 1. And it's as alive today as when he wrote Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. He says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. That same word can be alive in our hearts today and into our future, knowing that the Word of God is living And it speaks about the word being, used the word rhema, speaking of the word of God, speaking about a living word, a now word, where as you take the Bible and as you begin to read it, can I encourage you, read it every day. God speaks to you. God speaks to me every day. I open up the word of God and I begin to read. And I just happen to believe you don't have to just do the lucky dip and pick, you know, just wherever flips open. That's I just believe as you consistently read the Word of God, God will imprint words on your life for today and for tomorrow and the next day. And you'll be praying about a problem. You'll be thinking, I don't know what to do. And you'll be needing some vision for your life, some vision for your future. What do I do about my job? How do I deal with the angry boss? And you'll open up something. Oh, wow, does it say that in the Bible? How to deal with angry bosses? Yes, it does. It talks about how to deal with terrible bosses. The answers are all there. But as you begin to read it, God will bring revelation to your life and it will bring vision to your life. It'll spark things in your heart for the future. But also, you know, get into creative space. Have conversations with people. Read books. Do stuff that is going to begin to stir some things in your life that will spark fresh insight and obviously come to the times where we're gathering together, because they are key times where I believe God will imprint things of our heart and our life and our future. I love this clock here. It's stuck on 10 o'clock and I think this is good. I just keep going all day. How good is that? I think you all want to go to lunch soon. I'm going to finish with a scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. And Marianne's, this is Marianne's scripture for the year. She shared it last week and I thought, that was it. I came to church last Sunday. God spoke to me through Marianne. Is that cool? God spoke to me through Marianne. This is part of the process.
You're gonna
put me down? God brings stuff in your life, right? Who knows, we need each other. God's going to spark some things when we get together and we share together. And I'm just believing for the business lunch too, by the way. God's going to be sparking some things in people's lives. I've been so excited to hear the stories of what people are doing, and I'm believing for more. And this is what it says in the Passion Translation. It says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you to accomplish all of this. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt what God is going to bring to pass in your future. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Who believes that's a confidence-building scripture? Come on! Can I hear everyone in?
Amen!
That is absolutely incredible. As you read that, as you unpack it, as you think about it, the incredible inspiration that flows from God's word, this is his declaration to you. Never doubt God's power to work in you to accomplish all of this. In fact, it's good reading the previous few verses too. They are very inspirational. Never doubt God's power to bring his purpose to pass. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. Sometimes I think, oh, you know, is this too big for God? Is God able to do this? Well, the answer is yes, infinitely more. Your most unbelievable dream. So God may be starting to paint some pictures. You've got some things beginning to stir on the inside of your heart. He's able to bring that to pass and to exceed your wildest imagination. We may unpack that a bit in the weeks ahead. But we had a bit of a discussion about that, the imagination part of our being. It's part of what God has created inside of us. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Maybe we could all stand here this morning. Sense that for some of us here today, there's been an element in which we have lost that sense of being energized, that sense of divine enablement. God is infusing his life to us. The anointing, the empowering of the Spirit. God is not dead. God has not forsaken you. God has not forgotten you. You are loved by him. You are called by name. Say, child, you are mine. Even when you walk through the waters, I'm there. I am there with you. And experience and even circumstances of life do not define who God is. The Word of God teaches us, reveals to us something of his nature and his power, his love, his authority, his purpose to bring the flames to pass. Sometimes we need to change our thinking and our perceptions of ourselves and our future and our destiny. They've been dictated to, I believe, by the perception of the enemy and the evil one. Sometimes they've clouded our judgment, our perception, that we have failed to see the reality of who God has created us to be. The Bible says that God will chew in every man alive, let it be that we take hold of the heavenly vision. We start to see who it is God has created you to be, and you to be. And to live that out, not in our own strength and power. We can never do that. We are so dependent on him to enable us, to release us, even as Jeremiah was questioning his capacity and questioning his age, the insecurities that were in his life. But as he dedicated and committed his life to God, as he got that sense of divine revelation downloaded into his heart, he began to see himself differently. And he was the most tenacious leader and prophet that had been raised up because of the revelation that God had given him. It may be that God would just speak to us over this season again and begin to shape us and mold us and to help us to gain clarity and fresh vision of who we are in him, who has called us to be. Father God, we pray that there be just a mighty divine anointing that will just come down now and settle on our hearts here today. Fill us, we pray, O Holy Spirit. Help us to see what you see, pray. Let there be divine downpour, Lord God. Pray, break and smash images that fill our hearts and our minds that have not come from you, come sometimes from selves, circumstances, or even other people's declaration of our lives. Lord, it's a grace that which you have, that which you have seen in our lives even before we were formed in our mother's womb. Father God, I pray, bring that to life, bring it to thee. I pray the Lord God over these days ahead, in particular over the course of this month, there's going to be divine enablement. There's going to be a real sense of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, bringing prophetic words into hearts and lives. There's going to be senses in which we will be waiting before you at different times, different places. And Lord God, you're going to be speaking so powerfully, so distinctively, both to us individually, but Lord, also to us as a church here in Aspire. Lord God, we know there is so much more than what you have planned for this season. Lord Father God, we pray.